Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. FC Heidenheim 0, Chelsea 2. We're here to talk about the game. Welcome everyone. We really want to get your views today. We want to get fans up to share your views about the game. This is a space for your voice to be heard, so we want to get your voices up today. So, as ever, I'm joined by Rambles and by Louis, once we get them up here. Yes, welcome everyone. So Chelsea 2, Heidenheim 0, a relatively straightforward win in the end. First goal from Christopher Nkunku, second goal from Mykhailo Mudryk, a really great strike. Pretty standard in the end. We had a lot of shots on target, probably could have scored more. Nevertheless, we got the win. And Chelsea now apparently cannot be eliminated from the Conference League. We need more wins to before we have to play an extra round. So we are here. So yeah, good result for us tonight. And Rambles, you're up here. Welcome.
Evening, guys. I hope you're all doing well.
And what are your initial thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I thought, you know, very happy with that performance, a professional performance. We got the job done and we're looking very strong in the Europa Conference League as expected. I think it was nice to see Sancho get two assists and another good performance from Mudryk. He's growing in confidence week by week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a really great goal from Mudryk. Really good finish. Very confident finish.
And it was actually a lot harder finish than it actually looks.
Yeah. He made it look pretty easy, that. 100%. We'll talk about these later, but Jadon Sancho playing on the right, two assists for him. I thought he had a good game too. We'll talk about him later.
I think in these kind of games, you always want to see players stake a claim for a place at the weekend. And I think there's a few players who definitely did that tonight.
Yeah, well, we'll get onto that when you get your Rambles. I think it's a Rambles rave tonight, isn't it? I'm sure it is a
random
player.
It will be
about
one specific player, yes.
Yeah, but we'll see. I'm always interested to see who it is because whether they're a player that I brought up for conversation as well. So, Louis, welcome. Brief thoughts on the game tonight.
Yeah, it was, muy bien in Spanish. No, das gut in German. I was very happy with that. I think that you know what my favourite thing about tonight was. Chelsea played 4-4-2, yes. And I was just ecstatic over how ridiculous that was and how amazing it was in my eyes.
We talked about this before the game, didn't we, Lou?
Oh, mate, I was over the moon with that. I saw 4-4-2, I was like, nah, surely not. It was amazing. I'm happy with that. Big result.
Yeah.
And 4-4-2, can't complain.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so Chelsea's record under Maresca, 20 games, 12 wins. 4 draws and 4 defeats, 60% win percentage so far. Pretty good. Doing pretty well. And we move on, we keep going. So yeah, tonight, I wanted to talk about Christopher Nkunku. He's our top scorer this season. He's played nearly 800 minutes, which is the equivalent of 9 90-minute games, in terms of minutes. And he's got 11 goals and 1 assist. Scored again tonight. Probably could have had more tonight. Had a really good chance after we scored his first goal, which he probably should have put away. Really good counter-attacking move. But what I really want to talk about today, like, do we need to find a way to get him into the first team in the Premier League? Because he scores so many goals and he can create goals as well. You know, you could put him as a number 10 and put, you know, Cole Palmer as kind of the inside right forward. Give him a bit more freedom because he's obviously been struggling a little bit for opportunities and, you know, he's getting man-marked a lot more this season. Christopher Nkunku, what are your thoughts on Christopher Nkunku? And remember, everyone, you can come up and speak as well. We really want to hear from you. So if you've got some thoughts on Christopher Nkunku, please, you know, request, come up. Louis is handling that tonight. We'd love to hear from you. But first off, Rambles, what are your thoughts on Christopher Nkunku and whether he should be starting in the Premier League?
I think he's been very, very lucky in Nkunku that players in front of him are just playing that well. Obviously, Palmer pretty much guaranteed to be starting in the number 10 role, and Jackson he's argued to be in our top two, three best players this season. So I think he's just fallen victim of circumstances, but he definitely deserves to be playing in the Premier League. And I would have no issue at all if he was starting over any player, because he's just that good a finisher. I'm always confident when he gets a chance, he's going to at least hit the target or put it away.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, generally I'm pretty confident with him when he gets a chance. I was surprised he missed that chance tonight, actually. That was such a good counter-attack. Deserved a goal, really. And yeah, I mean, their keeper had a blinder tonight as well, which always seems to happen when when we play teams.
Yeah, their goalkeeper seems to turn in a world-class performance.
Yeah, it's the same every time. I've got used to it now. Louis, what do you think about Christopher Nkunku like tonight? And also, you know, does he start in the Premier League? And should he be starting in the Premier League?
Well, Christopher Nkunku's now got 11 goals this season, Chelsea's top goal scorer, 7 in the Conference League. And the whole purpose of that team is for players like him who maybe weren't starting at the beginning of the season, who maybe, if we're going to be very honest, you know, with the injury he had last season, needed to work his way back into the side. This was the platform for him to do it. And he's done all of what he can do to really earn his place in that team in the Premier League. And for me, I think, if I'm him, I think, especially today, being pulled off the pitch, you'd like to think that might have something to do with the fact that he's going to play a bigger role against Aston Villa at the weekend. But the big question there is, is that going to happen? And if it does, result for him, I think it's a big result for Chelsea. I think if he's going to do anything in that team, he does walk into that team for me in the Premier League. It does come at the cost of Noni Madueke, who, you know, he has been playing well this season. It may be slightly harsh, but realistically, Cole Palmer is the player that can play on the right-hand side, who can deliver there. And Christopher Nkunku is only really at his best when he's sat behind the striker. And I think if you had him, you had Nico Jackson, you had Cole Palmer, Pedro Neto, I think as a front four, that gives a lot for teams to think about. And I think it instantly gives Chelsea a stronger goal threat as well. This isn't any way, shape or form, me saying that I don't think Noni Madueke is a good player. I just think that Christopher Nkunku is better. And I think he gives more to this team. And I think, especially with such a not a tough run, but a run where Chelsea can get some results, I think you'd want to have players who can score goals in and around that side in every single position you can. Mm. And Christopher Nkunku is that man and has proven that. It's really interesting because, you know, he's obviously, we can talk about his goal contributions. He's only had one in the Premier League, but in fairness, he's only had one start. His only start in the Premier League came on the 24th of August. Hasn't started a Premier League game since then. So if he's earned any opportunity to get into that side, I think now is the time, especially with all the talk of him potentially looking for an exit in January.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I mean, I think we're going to have to rotate the team anyway. I think he's done enough to earn a start. And you're right, he's a goal threat. He can run at players, he can dribble, he presses well, he can create goals. Linking up with Palmer and Jackson and Neto, yeah, I mean, that's quite a formidable front four.
Honestly, I think the really pleasing thing there is we've got really good attacking options, and there's a lot of players who could arguably say they deserve to be starting. Mudrick's been playing very well recently, and he looks to be getting better, and he's starting to find his confidence.
Yes, he is, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, Christian Country, I don't want to see him leave Chelsea. Chelsea won't sell him in January, certainly. But, yeah, in the summer, you know, we've got to see everything we can. So I think he deserves to be in the team. You know, I think he deserves to be starting for us. And he's too good a player to, you know, I think to not be used in the Premier League. Again, it's just a matter of Cole Palmer's been in his place and they want to play Cole Palmer there, but I think there's a case now where you could just shift Palmer to the right and give defenders somebody else to mark in Christopher Nkunku. If they man mark Cole Palmer and then give Nkunku loads of space, Nkunku's going to score goals. And so they have to mark Nkunku as well, and that gives more space to Cole Palmer. So it just makes your attack more dangerous. And I think there's a really good case for Nkunku, you know, starting against Villa on the weekend for sure. And in his best position, not out wide, as he did against Manchester City, which, you know, was a bad decision in the end, and we didn't win the game. Yeah, so yeah, some good points there. Like, again, everyone, we really want to hear from you tonight. So do request, if you've got something to say about the game tonight, your voice matters. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to get you up here. And Louis is keeping an eye out on all the people that want to request. So if you've got something to say, make sure you request. And Louis will let you up and we'll let you speak. Also, just give make sure you give the Chelsea Echo a follow on Twitter. We have tons of great content going out there all the time. Stats on the game, podcasts, all sorts of great stuff. Make sure you give Chelsea Echo a follow on Twitter. It's well worth it. It's a great account, great content. Yeah. So the second topic today is, and I have a feeling this might be Ramble's rave, but I don't know yet, is Jorgensen in goal. I thought he had a great game. I thought he was fantastic today. Made some really important saves, kept us in the game. It's a really important thing to note that actually they had more shots on target than we did. and they didn't score a goal. And one of the reasons for that is Jorgensen, because he made some excellent saves. I thought he was excellent. I thought his distribution was good as well. He started some counter-attacks, which could have led to goals. I thought he had a really, really good game. So, Rambles, is he your... Rambles
fan? He is, yes.
So what do you think of his game today?
I thought he had a superb game and he made some brilliant saves. And I think I've been saying for a while he should be starting in the Premier League. And I think after that performance, I would start him on Sunday. I think, as you know, I'm not a fan of Sanchez at all. Actually, I don't think anyone's a fan of Sanchez.
Really? I always thought you were a massive fan of Sanchez. That really surprises me.
I know, yeah, it's just because...
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I'd never have guessed you didn't like Sanchez, Rambles. Like, never would have guessed that in a million years. I just got some stats as well for Jorgensen. 11 saves, 7 saves inside the box, 64 touches, 37 of 44 accurate passes, 84%, and 4 out of 11 long balls. A really good performance from him today. And yeah, I think... I think he's earned the opportunity to start in the Premier League. Clean sheet tonight as well. We don't keep many of them and we probably shouldn't have kept one tonight, but, you know, thanks to Philip Jorgensen.
And
we did.
I also think we need to see him in a run of Premier League games to really kind of gauge how good he is. Cause I think it's difficult when a goalkeeper just comes in for like midweek games. You need to see them, you know, how they cope and with the physicality of the Premier League, the intensity of the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. Louis, what are your thoughts on Jorgensen tonight and also just whether he should be starting over Sanchez?
I think it's a no-brainer at this point. I think when it comes down to certain games, you're going to face certain challenges. And this was the first big challenge where if we were going to really look at Philip Jorgensen, we'd want to see him prove his mettle against a side which have really stepped up over the past few years. And this was the big test for Chelsea with a side that were also undefeated. It's a no-brainer at this point. We can say that all we want, but the reality of the situation is we know for a fact that he's simply not going to get that opportunity right now. We can talk all we want about the fact that we believe that Philip Jorgensen's better than Robert Sanchez. I think he's proven it now. Like you said, big saves. I think maybe the one drawback of his game today was, did he really control his backline that well? But is that also all his fault when you watch De Zassi and Badiashile? No, De Zassi was turned inside out again tonight and was very fortunate on multiple occasions not to suffer any consequences. But look, Philip Jorgensen, I think he's proven it now. He's proven it consistently. He's stepped up on multiple opportunities. He just needs to be given that chance to start in the Premier League because he will deliver.
One piece of good news. Apparently, Robert Sanchez is one booking away from a game suspension.
I love how play that good news.
Oh, no. What a disaster. What bad news that is, eh? Oh, man.
That's like the Alvaro Morata thing when he left Chelsea. When he went, more good news, Alvaro Morata's left. That was like, that's basically what Rambles has done there.
Oh, I love the way you said that, Rambles. That was beautifully put. Lovely. I mean, it could be that Sanchez gets booked against Aston Villa and then, you know, then Jorgensen has to come in. Damn. What a problem that will be. How will we solve that problem of Sanchez being suspended? I don't know. Anyway, you're right, Louis, though. I think Sanchez will start in the Premier League. He'll keep backing him. But, if Jorgensen keeps on performing when he gets opportunities, he's going to be pushing Sanchez all the way. And he certainly made a very good case tonight. The stats just speak for it all, really. He was man of the match, really, because, without him, we wouldn't have won the game. I think it was his best game for Chelsea. And I liked his distribution as well, though. I think, like, there was one move in the first half where he passed the ball out from the back and it led into a counter-attack where we almost scored. That was really impressive. I was pleased with him tonight. He definitely made a difference to the game because they had a lot of chances and he needed to make saves and he couldn't afford it. He didn't make any mistakes. And he claimed a lot of crosses as well, which is good, which you always want from a keeper. So I thought he was excellent, yeah. And I'm not surprised Rambles picked him as his Rambles rave because we all know how big of a fan Rambles is of Sanchez.
I was going to have a little rant going off something that Louis said.
He said about
the Sassy, and I was saying in the game, midway through the game, I don't want to see the Sassy playing right back. I know Josh Achimpong's only young, but I like to see the right players playing in the right positions. The Sassy's not a right back. He never looks comfortable playing right back. And I think as we go deeper in the competition, we need to see an actual right back playing a right back. So if James is out long term, then we have to try and integrate Achimpong into the squad. We do need to look at 100%. Signing a right back in January or somebody who's competent there, because De Sassi just does not look confident against better opposition.
Yeah, I backed De Sassi a lot last season. I thought he was unfairly scapegoated last season, but this season he's not been great at all. We probably do need to get rid of him. I mean, we are going to need to either Josh needs to step up and be that right back alternative, or you get another right back in, but. It's really.
Who had a brainwave there? That's interesting. I love the way he's getting another right back in, and someone just chimed like, "I have an idea." We do have someone who wants to come up though, mate, and he's definitely going to be a fantastic addition to tonight's panel.
Who? Sorry,
we've got someone who wants to come up right now who would be a fantastic addition to tonight's panel.
Oh, yeah, it's Danny Windsor and Tom Over in the hair, and they're both great people.
Yeah, so Danny is currently eating his dinner and he said he's listening, but he may join us later, but Tom's ready to go. So am I allowed to bring him in for his debut on Final Score with the Score?
Absolutely, yeah, bring him in. Welcome, Tom. Really good to have you here. I've been on some of your spaces before, so welcome to ours.
Welcome on board, Tom.
How's it going, amigos? Yeah, sorry, just coming in there. Very, very happy with that result tonight. I think Heidenheim is always going to be a very tough game for Conference League because Bundesliga side overperformed last season. This was a big, big occasion for them. And I think to come out with a win, clean sheet, some great individual performances. I mean, I'm talking Jadon Sancho, I thought looked great. Mudryk looked absolutely brilliant. Absolutely delighted with that. Not perfect, and the ref was an absolute wally. Very disappointing to see Cazaday out the next game, but I'm very, very happy. Another win on the board, and onwards and upwards to Aston Villa, I think.
Absolutely, and a word about Heidenheim. Great story, amazing story for them. Come up through all the divisions. They've had the same manager since 2007. Their fans are absolutely brilliant tonight. They really were. They were an absolute credit to their club. They cheered, sang really loudly right to the end, even when they were losing 2-0. absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I hope they have a good season. I really do. It was a tough game as well. They played well. But absolutely right. Any players stand out for you, Tom? Like, which player in particular stood out for you?
I think Jadon Sancho by a long way. What made me so happy with him was the intelligence of his play. I don't think I understand it's a European game and everyone will go, oh, you're getting carried away. And yeah, I probably am. But I've not seen a winger play in such an intelligent way in quite a long time, the way he was making the right moves, the right crosses, right balls. I was really, really happy with him. I thought Vega had another brilliant night. As I say, just showing what a fantastic squad player he is. And it was always nice seeing Kunku get a goal. Shame that he couldn't put away that chance and then got that little tweak, but I think he's fine. But that move to giving Kunku that chance was just delicious, I thought.
It really was. It was an amazing bit of football. We did play some good football tonight. I thought when we had possession, we moved the ball pretty well. It looked like you could see they've been training, they've been working, you know, on their passing movements and routines and whatever in training. You know, it was very, very good link up play when we had possession. And we had most of the possession of the game as well. Chelsea, I think, had 66% possession, I think, in the game, something like that. And just on some of the things that we've been talking about, Jorgensen, do you think Jorgensen has done enough to be starting in the Premier League?
If it were up to me, yeah. But I absolutely hate to say this, Scott, but I almost think it's a pointless question because the club are just not going to... The club clearly are putting all their stocks on Bobby Sanchez. And, mate, for me, I would love to see Jorgensen in the Prem. And in the sense that if you're asking me what I would do, yeah, absolutely. I think he's great. He doesn't get flustered. I just think, you know, I just think that they're so invested in Robert Sanchez that no matter how many of us want him to play in the Prem, that he's just not going to do it. It's really, really frustrating. I will say that, mate. But,
you know. It's something that we talk about a lot on this show because, well, I think so many of us have become really frustrated with Robert Sanchez and some of the elementary mistakes he makes and how he can give confidence to the opposition. Like last weekend, you know, we were dominating the game, and then the end of the first half, he made some mistakes and just gave the opposition confidence, you know, and fortunately won the game. But nevertheless, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. I don't understand it because it's not like we paid big money for him either.
No.
In fact, I think Jorgensen was more expensive.
But I mean, Sanchez, I mean, I just think that deal was such bad value for money because it was about 25 to 30 million quid, 7-year deal for a player that Brighton didn't even want. And you're right. I mean, Jorgensen cost a lot, but I mean, he is younger, but the goalkeeper deals have always puzzled me because my view has always been, when they say, for example, we're bringing in Philip Jorgensen to provide competition for Robert Sanchez, I just think goalkeeper is the one position in a squad of football where you do not want competition. You want a set number one goalkeeper who is familiar with the back line. And the signings of like Sanchez, Jorgensen are just not, they're not a player that's going to shoot to be number one, you know?
It's the one area of recruitment that I'm most critical of under this ownership. Like midfield, can't really argue with that. Attack, yeah, I think they've got that. They've done pretty well with that. You know, some of the centre backs they've got, you know, I think Gusto's a good sign in. I think Fofana was a good sign in. I still believe that. That's the area of the pitch where we haven't got it right in recruitment yet. And we need to do that.
Personally, so, I think
I think
trying to build Sanchez's confidence up this season because I think they know he's not the answer long term. And whenever he makes a mistake, you see all this PR the next day, how the club really trusting him, they believe in his qualities. And I think they're just trying to just nurse him through the rest of this season. Then I think in the summer, they will reevaluate the situation.
Yeah, I'm becoming a big fan of Kelleher at Liverpool. Well, I think Lee would have said love as well.
Of course I am. It seems to be that me and the score just have the same idea of who we'd love to sign for Chelsea.
Max Kilman.
Yeah.
Great shout.
Max Kilman.
Great shout.
He would have been better than De Zerzi, that's for sure.
Don't say that too loud, mate. Blimey. People won't agree with you on that.
I mean, there are people that think De Zerzi is a fantastic defender, and I just think to myself, look, I think he would be a very good defender for like a mid-table, for like Sean Dyche's Everton. Axel De Zerzi would be brilliant.
Yeah, he's Sean Dyche's defender. Yeah, 100%. He is all of that. He's the kind of. I mean, Jose Mourinho would probably love him as well. Yeah. Right? He's that kind of.
But if you put him on the halfway line, he's no good. You know. That's.
Yeah, he's not a. Yeah, I mean, like if you, I think Jose Mourinho.
He just
would love
doesn't
him,
suit how he wants to play, really, does he? Like,
yeah, I think he knows he's on the way out as well. There's been lots of rumours about him being for sale last summer and next summer and whatever. So he probably thinks he's on the way out. He's playing right back a lot of the time, which he doesn't want to do. So, yeah, I think we'll just move him on when we get an opportunity.
Paid big money for De Zerzi, though. 40 million almost.
Yeah, that's right. We saw 18 months ago we signed him.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see what happens. I do think Chelsea are going to sign a centre-back in either January or the summer.
Well, if Enzo Maresca loves playing 4-4-2, he seems to love a bit of Benevente ball. I've got a few centre-backs which I reckon would slot into Chelsea's system, personally.
Who are you saying?
So I can meet Josh Farrokhan, Imperial Wolves captain, unbelievable centre-back. we've got some other players as well, which I reckon that Enzo would love. But it's we'll just have to see what happens, really, isn't it?
Agent Benevento.
Yeah, I mean, Mick, can you imagine me? I used to look like Mina Ryder, apparently, didn't I? So that doesn't help.
Me and Louis are the sporting directors. We're just we're the guys that are signing people.
Yeah, yeah. My signing's a top draw, mate. Top draw.
Great. Right, so thank you, Tom. Stick around here. We'll keep you up here. There's more to discuss. And also, everyone, I would recommend make sure you catch, you can catch more of Louis on the voice note review from the Chelsea Echo, which should be available shortly. That's like a little 3-minute sum up of the game. Always good fun to listen to. Louis at his best. So that'll be up shortly. Make sure you check that out. Fantastic. And actually, this brings me, it's a nice segue because I know that Tom mentioned Jadon Sancho just now, and I was going to talk about him. Just some stats, actually. He got 2 assists tonight. He's got 6 assists in 5 assists in 8 games this season in 6 starts. He got 6 assists in his entire Manchester United career. 83 games, 6 assists. He's got 5 assists in 8 games for Chelsea. I don't know what that tells you, but I think there's a lot of things that can come out of that. So he hasn't scored yet, but I think he's getting there. He also won a penalty as well in the game that he's played for us. That doesn't count as an assist, but he's won a penalty as well. So 6 goal contributions, really, which is basically, the same as he got at Manchester United. I think he's been a useful sign and he's doing what he needs to do. So, Rambles, what are your thoughts on Jadon Sancho?
I'm really pleased with Sancho, but I always said to myself it was going to take time for him because I don't really enjoyed his time at Manchester United one bit. And I think it just wasn't the right move for him. And it was going to take time for him to settle in again, find a new home. And I think he's coming along really nicely. And again, he's another player who arguably deserves to be starting more Premier League games.
Yeah, it's one of those things like I've talked about all season, good problems. It's nice to have good problems where you've got quality players playing well, knocking on the door, meaning that the players who are currently in the team have to perform because they've got players coming in behind them who are also performing. And it also gives you more options off the bench as well when you need to bring somebody on to change the game. You've got that, and we've got that right now, and it's a good problem.
I think Sancho's an example. Sometimes in football, you do need a bit of luck when you make a move. You need to make the right move for the right manager. And he and Ten Hag were just never a good fit. And Ten Hag was never a particularly good man manager. I think if he'd had a manager like Enzo when he first came to the Premier League, I think we would see a very different Sancho now than the one we have seen recently.
I think he chose the wrong club. I never felt Man United was the right club. Some players suit certain clubs. I never felt he suited Manchester United. Actually, I always kind of felt he suited Chelsea, honestly. I wanted him at Chelsea back in the day when he went to Manchester
United. And I get the impression he's enjoying being back in London as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think you can tell he's enjoying it more here than he did at Manchester United. That's for sure. And the team spirit's good there. Like, you see the goal celebrations. You know, it's really, really good. Good spirit, good camaraderie. And he's involved in that. You can see he's got a smile on his face. You know, he's enjoying his football. And that's really, really positive. Louis, just your thoughts on Jadon Sancho.
I remain cautiously optimistic. I think there's a lot of people that are getting on a hype train. He doesn't feel like the sort of player where I'd want to lump everything on him to really see him come through. I want to see him do well and do it in his own time. I agree in terms of the surroundings. I think that United at the time was toxic. I still think it potentially remains so. I think if there's any manager that would have get a song out of him, it would have been Ruben Amorim. You know, he does strike me as a very similar player to Marcus Edwards, who was at Sporting, obviously. So I reckon that's something where, you know, Ruben Amorim's probably a little bit annoyed about that he's going to be stuck with Antony instead of Jadon Sancho. But look, I think he's getting better consistently. There's still a couple of times today where I wanted to tear me air. I just want him to get that confidence to just take someone on. He got two assists. It was great, but there was three or four occasions where he had too many step overs and he ran himself down a blind alley and he couldn't get out. This is why I remain cautious, because I just want him to really kick on and take those people on. Because I really think he's really capable of that, because he's proven that on so many levels.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, yeah, he's slowly easing his way into Chelsea. I think it's benefited him not having to be the man, as it were. You know, it's not everything's resting on him. Where there's other good players in his position, so that he doesn't have to come in and absolutely perform at his peak straight away. And there isn't that pressure. We can just ease his way in. And that's helped him, I think. You know, I mean, when you've got people like, you know, Palmer and Nkunku and Pedro Neto all in your attack, you know, there's a lot of competition. So, and, you know, you'd think that at least two of those will start on against Villa on Sunday. Because I think Pedro Neto is now training. So that's a positive. Yeah, you're right. And, I just think he deserves a lot of credit today. I thought he had a really good game. And Tom, just a bit more on Sancho from you. What position do you think is his best? Do you think he's best on the right or on the left? And why? Tom? Is Tom still there? Tom?
I was on mute. I apologise. I was about to get going there. Great question, Score. I was actually first up going to give you give everyone on the space my Sancho theory and why I, even though I may have for the first few hours been puzzled, I actually think it was an incredibly smart signing, regardless of whether it works out or not. And that is, I think that the board see the signing of Sancho as a little bit like Mo Salah to Liverpool, in that he is a player who has had a failure with a Premier League club in a pretty unfavourable environment. I'm not saying that Chelsea was necessarily unfavourable for Salah, but I think Salah was obviously too young and was never going to become the player he is with us. And for 20 to 25 million quid, this is the sort of price where even if he fails, there's very, very little downside from our end, because this is a player who is English, fits the homegrown quota. Even if we had to get rid of him, it wouldn't, the loss on that deal would be absolutely minimal. So there's so much upside. This guy is clearly a very intelligent, very good player. Obviously, you know, the highest touted young player in Europe at one point. And to get him for 20 to 25 million is honestly an absolutely remarkable piece of business. So I just want to make that point clear, because I just think it's why I have so much faith in him, because it's taken all the pressure away from him. But whilst the upsides and the potential for him is still so, so high, because he's still a pretty young player as well. In terms of the size, so I actually thought he looked really dangerous on the right tonight. I really enjoyed him. And I know that he was probably on the right because they want to give Misha a go on the left. But I'd quite like to see him get another go on that side, maybe with Pedro Neto on the left. But equally with Sancho and Pedro Neto, they could do what Willian and Pedro used to do and just rotate sides. So honestly, I'm very, very happy. Very, very happy with him. I think he's good on both sides, but I actually would quite like to see a little bit more of him on the right.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent on the right today. You know, I mean, I was always thinking that he'd be better on the left. And he, to be fair to him, he got 3 assists and 1 penalty from the left-hand side as well. So he's done pretty well on the left-hand side too.
Yeah.
But on the right tonight, yeah, 2 assists. And they were really good assists as well, honestly. So yeah, that's the advantage of him, isn't it? And it just gives you that depth as well. I mean, like, imagine at the weekend, say we play Nkunku in the 10 and Palmer on the right and Neto on the left. Then you've still got Sancho you can bring on.
Yep.
You know, and obviously you've still got, Nonny, you've still got Yao Felix. You know, it just, there's a lot of really good, and obviously Mudrick as well. So you've got a lot of options, and that's a really positive thing that we haven't had for a while. And we're going to need that with, obviously it's a lot of, we've got 10 games in December. So we're going to need to rotate. So it's good to have all these options.
Yeah. And that's where I hold the hopes that we're going to see a bit of Mudrick in the Premier League. We're going to see Nkunku in the Premier League. I'm really happy for these guys because they're going to get their chance to show it on the biggest stage and maybe have even more competition for our best team, which is a really, really encouraging thing, because I think what you don't want, even though I don't think they are, you don't want an A and a B team set up in the long term, because players will get unhappy. So I'm really looking forward to this festive period, because we'll be able to rotate the team a lot, keep fitness high, but we'll also have, you know, so many players who are really hungry and really going for top performances. So I'm super excited for the festive period for the first time in years, honestly.
Yeah, because December's not always a good month for Chelsea historically. So, but I think we have the depth this time to cope with it. And actually, that brings me to a comment from Enzo Maresca. He's made quite a few comments post-game. One of the things he said, Jorgensen played a good game and Clunky the same. We have 9 or 10 games in December, so they're going to get more chances. They need to be ready. He also complimented Sancho. He also complimented Zazi and Badiashile, which is interesting.
Foda Glimt have just equalised away at Man United. And
yes, Man United scored after 50 seconds.
Ding-ding-ding-dong, folks. Roma 1-1 against Spurs as well.
Yeah, Dybala, is it?
No, Dybala? It's Ndika, the centre-back.
Ah,
Dilly-ding-dilly-dong, come on, man.
I love Claudio Ranieri. Oh, one day we'll have to do a podcast about Claudio Ranieri, because I love the guy. And I always will.
Not when we play Monaco away, mate, and he brings on a striker at 1-0.
Oh yeah. I try to forget that game now, like, because he made the sacrifice so that we could get Jose Mourinho in. So,
hello, my sharks. Welcome to the funeral.
Exactly. I remember that press conference. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that season. Wow, what a season. Anyway. Yes, thanks, Tom, for that analysis of Sancho. Like, actually, at Rambles, what position do you think Jadon Sancho should be playing in? Right or left? And why?
Personally, I would maybe lean towards the left-hand side. And that's because I think Neto is maybe better on the right-hand side. So I would quite like to see. I mean, I would like to see Sanchez on the left, Neto on the right, and Palmer as the 10.
And no Nkunku.
That's where it gets really difficult, because I said before Mudryk deserves to be starting, and I think he's been really good. This goes back to what you say, there's so many good problems, because there's about three or four different front three / fours we could go with, and we'd be pretty happy with each one.
Absolutely, and that's a real positive, especially when you think about the fact that we've got Estevao William coming into the squad next summer, and he is a player. I mean, he looks a really top talent, right? So he's going to be around. And we could potentially be signing with another striker. Potentially, we've been linked with Liam Delap, we've been linked with Evan Ferguson, and we've been linked with Guy Carreras as well, by the Portuguese media. So we could have another striker, which I think we need. But I think we need competition for Jackson, not someone to replace him. But yeah, so our options could get better next season, which is pretty incredible if you think about it. And we think like what player are we gonna have to sell some of or loan some of these players, because we've got too many of them. But that's really good problems, isn't it? When you've got so many good players that you can't keep them all happy and you've got to loan some out. But yeah, that's interesting that you've got different perspectives. I trust Maresca on this. I think I've seen Sancho be impressive on the right tonight. I thought his assists tonight were excellent, really, really good. I was really impressed. And he just had a good game overall, and pressed well, and, you know, with tracked back and everything. But he's been good on the left as well. So I'm a big fan of Pedro Neto. I think he has to be starting in the Premier League 100%. I think he will. I think he will start the weekend. So yeah, but I trust Enzo to make the right choice, and it's whatever choice he makes, we're going to have good options on the bench. So, but congratulations to Jadon Sancho. He had a really good game today, and he deserves a lot of the.
And another piece of good news: Manchester United are now losing 2-1.
Oh, what a glorious! That is fantastic. So the Roman era is not getting off to a very good start. Then, oh man, you've got to laugh, haven't you? I still laugh at Manchester United. That's fun, isn't it? That's not what I'm looking for. No, I'm trying to find his stats for tonight. If anyone can find his stats, Man United, Sancho's stats for tonight, that'd be great. Rambles, anyone, you can find them. Or Louis, we could find them. Be great. I've been looking for them, but I can't find them. But he had a good game tonight, and I'm really pleased with him. And it's kind of funny that he had a really good game the day that Man United are losing, which is, there's some kind of karma there, I think. He'll be laughing tonight. So, yes, thanks everyone for your contributions on that topic. Please do remember that you can come up and call. We'd love to hear from your point. We'd love to hear your points of view on the game, on your thoughts on anything that we've talked about. Do request to come up. Louis is keeping an eye on it. And if you want to come up and say something about the game, please do. We'd love to hear from you. And again, do check out our Twitter account and also the voice note review that we've got. That's all really good content from the Chelsea Echo. And that brings me to my next topic, which is Mikhailo Mudryk. And there's a few things I want to say about Mikhailo Mudryk. First, about his performance, but also the penalty. We'll talk about the penalty in a minute. Mikhailo Mudryk, it's his third goal of the season. I can't remember how many, five or six assists. He's played about 14 games. I think he's having a decent season. I think he's improving all the time. I think you've got to give credit to Maresca, for the work that he's done with him, and how he's improving, and the confidence that he's growing in confidence. The last two goals he scored have shown a lot of confidence and a lot of ability. Rambles, what are your thoughts on Mikhailo Mudryk's season?
I think he's having a really promising season, and I think you have to understand with some players do need that bit more time than others to kind of settle in, to adjust to a new league. And I think it was a very difficult time, and he obviously came over from Ukraine with various things going back in his country, and he's always had a really good attitude. He never seems one of these players who sulks or moans when he's not playing. He just quietly goes about his business. And from what I hear, the club are very happy with his recent upturn in form. And there was talk earlier on in the season about him potentially getting a January loan move. But all that seems to have died down now. And I think he can really kick on and be a very big player for us. Because I've always believed that there is a player in there, which is the case of just help building his confidence, and that seems to be happening now, and we're seeing that on the pitch. He looks a totally different player than he did a few months ago.
Yeah, he does. There's definitely a lot more confidence in him now. Definitely, I'm really pleased for him, because, like you say, he's the kind of player you want to succeed, because he's got a great attitude, he works really hard in training, he wants to succeed, he's humble, he doesn't assume that he hasn't got an ego like, oh, I should just be playing. No, he works hard, he wants to improve, he wants to get better. And he's, this season, I think he's having a really good season. And I saw a stat actually that Mikhailo Mudryk has scored more goals in Europe than Kylian Mbappe, Bellingham and Rodrigo combined this season. Which, given he's got three goals, it's not, I just thought it was funny. Because everyone talks about Real Madrid's attack, and actually Mikhailo Mudryk's out scoring three of them. And that's quite funny. but Tom, your thoughts on Mikhailo Mudryk, how he's doing this season? If you can unmute yourself.
Yes, mate. Apologies. Sorry. Just about to start cooking dinner. So it was just in the kitchen, and we wouldn't have wanted to have me with the fan blaring. I think I've been really impressed with Mudryk. And I think the thing is he was a player who, when he came and he signed in 2023, he was never going to be a win now, fantastic, one of Europe's best Premier League best wingers. And I think it was a mistake, the level to which he was hyped. I mean, yes, the media are to blame for that, for saying it was 100 million when it manifestly wasn't. And I think it's been a good thing with him being a bit of a squad player for a few years. Because remember how young he is, come from war-torn Ukraine. I'm convinced he's still going to be an excellent winger, because there's just so many good fundamentals. With a good coach like Enzo Maresca coaching him some of the things he's weaker at, we've got an excellent player on our hands. And, you've just mentioned Rodrigo. He had several years as a squad player and, wasn't a win-now signing for Madrid. Look at him now. And I just think, give him time. He's got the perfect attitude. If it keeps going like this, he'll be in that first team, or at least knocking on the door before long. And with the festive period comes opportunities. And I'm really excited to see him get a go in the Premier League. Let's see how he's developed, because I think he deserves it. I really, really do.
Yeah, and we've got games like Southampton and stuff coming. We've got some no game is easy in the Premier League, but we've got some games that we'd probably be expected to win, and Southampton is one of those. And, he's the kind of player that could do well against Southampton, right? And, they're not the kind of the top elite opposition. So that kind of game might be good for him in the Premier League. Yeah, and Maresca had mentioned tonight that players are going to get opportunities this month because we're playing so many games. So I hope he does get an opportunity, because I like him. I mean, I like him as a person. Like, I think he's just got a good attitude, and he wants to succeed. And there is a lot of raw ability in there. And we've seen a bit of that. But the last couple of goals he scored have really been just in really great finishes, honestly. And he made them look really pretty easy. But cutting inside and scoring those goals, I always love a cut inside goal when a winger cuts inside and smashes it into the top corner. That's just a beautiful. Eden Hazard used to do that all the time. And I'm not saying Mudryk is anywhere as good as him, but I just love seeing that in any winger when they cut inside and score. And he's done that a couple of times this season now, and that's really positive. And I think he had a good game tonight. And he made a run down the left-hand side. He beat about three or four players and then got a cross in. And it was if Frank Lampard had been in the team tonight, he would have gotten the end of that and it would have been a goal. It was the perfect Lampard goal, but Lampard wasn't in the team. And there was no one there. But it was a brilliant run and cross.
I think also, as Tom alluded to, I think the price tag has always gone against him because people say, oh, yeah, you paid $89 million for him and you only signed him to stop Arsenal from getting him, blah, 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 which just simply wasn't the case.
I mean, there was too much pressure on him when we signed him because everyone talked about, like Tom said, the $88 million, €100 million, whatever, that people forget that we only pay that if we win the Premier League and the Champions League with him in the team. And we're not going to be doing that. Well, not for a while, but remember the Premier League, not so far away now. We paid $62 million for him. And we've had him for 2 years now, nearly. He's been at Chelsea. I'm sure you'll get games over Christmas and that'll be really great to see. And hopefully he does well in those games when he gets opportunities. What he's been through. And obviously his family is still in Ukraine and that's always going to be on his mind. So you've got to give him credit for that as well. Yeah, absolutely. So, Mykhailo Mudryk, credit to him. And also, let's get to that penalty incident. If we'd not won the game, this would have probably been the top topic. But there was a penalty incident in the first half with Mykhailo Mudryk. And I think I don't know exactly what happened, but it looks like they initially gave a penalty, then VAR reviewed it, and he went to look at the monitor and then said it wasn't a penalty. And my first instinct was that it was a penalty. And then I saw the replay a few times and I was like, I'm not sure. I can't really figure out whether it is a penalty or not. What were your thoughts on that penalty incident, Rambles?
At first, I thought it was a penalty. But then I saw it back again and I was a bit unsure. And it's one of those things. It's so difficult to know decisions because in another game would have been given. There's just no consistency in decisions from game to game. You can see the same incidents in two games. One's given, one's not given. So you don't quite know really where you stand nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely right. I agree. And I found it very difficult to decide whether it was or not, honestly.
Sorry, guys. I don't know if you can hear me because my sound's been really funny, but I...
Yeah, we can hear you. Tom? I know you're muted again now. We could hear you for a second there, Tom, but you're gone now. Oh, everyone's disappearing.
Well, I'm back. Could you hear me? I was saying if Tom's brings off mute, he can get chatting. I've been enjoying listening, lads, whilst I've been running around trying to deal with stuff in my flat at the same time.
Well, I'm doing the same, Louis. I've just had sound problems, like connection problems. I'm just cooking dinner at the moment, but I will come back on once I'm done. Okay.
Well, if we're still going.
I will see you guys soon, but I've just had some connection problems. So, I hope
it's good to have you here, Tom. Just to have you here.
Over that. So, chat to you in a bit, lads.
Have a good one, Tom. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Tom. It's really good to have you here, and hopefully we can have you back again. Tom's always great. If you give him a follow, I'd highly recommend it. He's a good guy. Tweets a lot of good stuff and does stuff for the Chelsea Social. Give him a follow 100%, and we'll have him back. That penalty incident, it was, it didn't matter in the end, fortunately, but it's one of those ones that I couldn't really decide whether it was a penalty or not, honestly. Rambles is right. Your first instinct when you see it is that it's a penalty, and then, you kind of see the replay and think, is it not? I don't know. It's difficult to see. I watched the replay about 5 or 6 times from different angles and couldn't figure it out. So I don't blame the referee for not giving it. Honestly, and it didn't matter in the end. So, Chelsea have won 2-0 against Heidenheim. Good, solid win. Clean sheet. Good performances from a lot of players today, which we've talked about. We're in a strong position now and going through to the next round in the Europa Conference League. We have Aston Villa at home on Sunday in the Premier League. Aston Villa have not won in 7 games, so we're hoping that continues. And that we don't do a charity FC performance and give them their first win in 2 months or whatever. We're in good form. 2 wins on the trot now since the international break. It's very good. Ramble, just your final thoughts on today's game.
Yeah, a professional 2-0 win. We keep up 100% record in Europe. And, yeah, everything around Chelsea just seems to be really positive at the moment. And that's just a huge difference from the last few seasons.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel a bit more positive about Chelsea right now.
And the way we're being spoken about by the media, by pundits, it's just a world away from last season. And Enzo deserves huge credit for the way he's come in and turned everything around. Because there was so much scrutiny when he got the job. Oh, you know, you've gone for a championship manager, blah, blah, blah. And I think he's really impressed everyone. He's doing a superb job.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And Maresca's really won me over. I'm really impressed with him. I think he's a really good coach, good tactician, good man manager. Looks like he's getting the best out of players and improving players as well. And, you know, we've only lost 4 games since he's been manager. I've only lost 2 games in the Premier League. And it's, you know, just pretty much December. So, you know, 60% win percentage so far for him. Yeah, I'm really pleased with him. And I think we're going to have a good season. I feel pretty confident about the Conference League winning that. Feel pretty confident about the top 4. And I feel pretty positive about going into next season as well. So, yeah, lots of positives. And it's a good night for Chelsea again, which let's hope for more of those. Louis, you're around to give your final analysis on the game?
I have 5 seconds. Easy. Okay, 5 next. Seconds. Let's have it against Villa.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Louis. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being part of this, for listening, for and for everyone who's contributed. Rambles, Tom, Louis, really great. Thank you for everyone who's listening to the podcast. This is going to go out as a podcast tomorrow morning. And if you're listening to that, thank you for listening. Make sure you catch the voice note review that Louis is going to be doing. That'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Make sure you give that a follow as well. And yeah, follow us all for great content as well. Follow Chelsea Echo, follow Rambles, follow Louis, follow me, for all great Chelsea content. And we will be back on Sunday, after Chelsea versus Aston Villa in the Premier League. Thanks, everybody.